Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Hey. We're holding at Tzadik Dalet Omud Beis near the bottom at Omar Rav Huna. We decided we were going to wait for tonight to learn the whole story of the invasion of Sancheriv and how it related to Nov Yir HaKohanim. Remarkable. Omar Rav Huna. Sancheriv, in one day, actually that day that he came to take over Yerushalayim, and he thought that he was going to conquer Yehuda and Yerushalayim, on that day he made the equivalent of 10 days of marches. If you analyze the Pasuk, you see that there's 10 different locations that he passed by. Shenemar, Ba'al Ayat, Avar Migron, Limichmash, Yafkit Kelav. So here we're talking about the town of Hayat. He came through, passed through Migron, put things down in the garages in Michmash, Avru Ma'abara. Also, each one of these was another town. Geva Malon Lano, and they made a hotel, stayed over a little bit, took some showers over in Geva. Chada Harama. Oh, it was already like an earthquake in Ramah as they passed through. Givat Shaul Nasa, Tzalik Oleg Bat Kalim, Hakshivi Laisha, Aniyana Tot. So we're assuming now that this pasuk, which is the next pasuk, is also a list of locations. So Bat Kalim, that was one town, and Laish was another town, and Aniyana Tot. Now, these are all what we're referring to in each one of these cases is sort of a play on words, you know? So if we have Bat Kalim, that's Happy Town. So that's what they were saying as we understood it to mean. That's what it was saying. You know, Tzali Kolech, have a lot of happiness in your voice in Bat Kalim. And Hakshivi Laisha, Aniya Anatot. Anatot means Aniya. So it seems to be saying it's like a remnant of the same words. So, poor Anatot, you're doomed, as they pass through. Nadada Madmina, also play on words. So, Madmina has wandered away in the night. Yoshve Hagevim Heizu. Okay, then the next pasuk, which really doesn't belong here right now, but we're going to darshan later, is Od Hayom Benov Lamod, you know, Feif Yado Harbat Zion Givat Yerushalayim. Anyway, now, assuming that all of those places are actual locations, that adds up to 12 different towns, and you said that there were only 10. Hani Tuva Havyan. Well, you don't understand. That pasuk that you were reading as a list of place names is not a list of place names. Tzahali Kolech Bat Kalim, that is actually a nevius that the Navi was saying over to Klal Yisrael. So after listing the names of the towns that Sancheriv was passing through, he was telling Klal Yisrael, actually, you have nothing to worry about. And that was referring to Bat Kalim, was the daughter, not of the daughter of the Stam, we thought meant happiness, a gil. It means the ones who were the Bitei Shel Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Galim refers to waves, and it means that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, whose daughter you are, so to speak, Klal Yisrael, they were asu mitzvot kegalei hayam. It's not a reference to the place, which, by the way, today is actually a place, Bat Kalim, based on this pasuk, but it's just a way of reassuring Klal Yisrael, you have nothing to worry about. This guy, he's making a big fuss, but he's not going to bother you at all. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to knock him off. Hakshiva Laisha, Hakshivi, it's Elisha. So then, you should not, Mihai Lotistave, what does Laish have to do with it? Now, Laish is not a place. What it's saying is, if you're worried about anything, don't worry about this guy, but pay close attention to Mr. Lion. So Sancheriv, you don't have to worry about because of the nase that's going to take place. But if you want to worry, Istafim Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, you should worry about Nebuchadnezzar, who was called in the Pusik a lion. And that's what it's referring to. Where does it say Nebuchadnezzar is a lion? Because as Nebuchadnezzar begins his aliyah, his political aliyah, so he's called Ale Aryoi Misufcho. that the lion has come forth from his den. Okay, so that means Bat Galim and Laish is not these places you could take out. And Anatot was not referring either to a place. What was that? That was Aniya Anatot means if you're going to be thinking about Nebuchadnezzar, then you should look at the Neviut that is going to appear from Yirmiyahu ben Hilkiah, who comes from the town of Anatot. That's what it means. So Aniya, Aniya is a lashon of a proclamation, a Nevius, that comes from Anatot. And this is Dechtiv, Divrei, Yirmiyahu ben Hilkiah, min HaKohanim, Asher ba'Anatot be'Eretz Binyamin. So this was all part of the message to Klal Yisrael about what is going to be happening with the story of the invasion of Sancheiriv, and they're not part of the place names that we were being medayik before, that there were 10 separate marches that he completed in one day. Wait a minute. So doesn't you claim that Nebuchadnezzar is called a Laish? It didn't say Laish. It said Allah Aryeh Misupko. I mean, here it says Ari, and there it says Laish. It's not the same thing, is it? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, actually, it is the same thing. And there are Shisha Shemot Yesh La Ari. It's actually 6 different names that we call a lion, none of which cover Akiva's name, which is Lion. It's not Lion. Where is the Akiva when you need him here? Yeah, there you go. And what are those 6 names? Ari, Kvir, Lavi, Laish, Shachal, and Shachat. So all of these are different words that we see in different Nevi'im, different Sifrei Tanakh, that are used as words for the Laish. They're all talking about one person, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, now wait a minute. So now you're messing up the whole drasha, because you said there were 10 masa'ot, and you got that by adding up the number of cities that he went through. Then we pointed out to you that there are 12 cities. So then you said, okay, take out the posik about the Tzali Bat Galim. But then you took out 3. If you take out 3 from 12, you're left with 9. So now we don't have our original raya that he went through 10 different places. Well, Yochi Batsulei, so then there's going to be actually only 9 marches that he made. No, the Avru Ma'abara is a reference to 2 different places. You thought that it meant they passed through Ma'abara? That's not what it means. It meant Avru and Ma'abara. Okay, this is Rashi. This is another Girsa that puts in another Pasuk Beklal, but okay, we won't worry about that right now. We'll go with Rashi's Girsa. Anyway, but then, what in the world is the meaning of Nov? How does Nov have anything to do with this story? And after listing all of the names of these places and telling us where Sancheiriv was going, the Pasuk says, Od Hayom Benov La'amod. The day was about to pass in Nov. Meaning what? Omer Avuna, you have to understand the background to this. Actually, the reason that Sancheiriv was empowered to attack Yerushalayim was because of what happened in Nov Ir HaKohanim. We're going to see more about that later. But because of the chet of killing the Kayanim in Nov, so there was a gezera against Yisrael, that there would be a defeat, and this is a gezera, as we'll see, against Malchus Beis David and the Beis HaMikdash, all because of what happened in Nov. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain that David HaMelech was blamed for having passed through Nov and causing, because of that, the terrible destruction afterwards. He should have realized what is going to happen. So the Chaldei, these were the astrologers, Chaldeans, so they warned Sancheiriv, look, Yazlata idna yachaltala, v'ilo lo yachaltala. If you get there today, this is the last opportunity you're going to have to find that weakness in Yerushalayim that will enable you to destroy it. You've got to get there immediately. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to capture it. So what happened? So Sancheiriv went on a forced march to be able to get to Yerushalayim in one day. And in Hashemayim he was helped. Urcha d'bar l'sakri basar yume, sarga b'chad yuma. So he took a 10-day march, and he managed it in one day. So they come to Yerushalayim, and they build Shadele Bistarke. They build this little tower for him to be able to stand on top. Others have the understanding, and take a look at the translations of Rashi, that these were carpets. They piled a bunch of carpets one on the other. Okay. In any event, he was able to look over the wall of Yerushalayim, and he got a beautiful view of the whole Yerushalayim. When he looked at the whole Yerushalayim, he started laughing. This is Yerushalayim? This third world, tiny little place? I can't believe it. And I'm driving myself crazy to get here. And, oh, my God, what an idiot. This is Yerushalayim Dalar Gishet Kol Meshayati. I went to full mobilization of the entire country, bringing millions of people here, as we'll see. This is Alar Kavashit Kol Medinata. I had like this whole plan that I'm going to go through, and I'm going to capture all these different countries and build an army so I can finally get to Yerushalayim. It turns out Yerushalayim is a joke. Hello, he's Irava Chalashami Kokra Chayama Maya de Kaveshis Bitkov Yadi, my great power in which I've been able to conquer Paris and Vienna. This, what do I need to worry about this from? It's smaller and more ridiculous than any city I've seen. He sits up there, Allah Kamamani Bereshit. He is shaking his head. Oh my gosh, he's waving his hand. What a waste of time. I can't believe this. And he's waving his hands in contempt on the Beis HaMikdash and Har Tzion and on the Azores in Yerushalayim. So, but these people said to him, you know, the Kaldayim, or maybe it means his officers, listen, we're here. We were warned that this is the last opportunity. We better mount an attack immediately. Get out of here, says Sancheirim, please. The Meito, this is a tired day today. Tomorrow, you know, what do you mean attack? We don't need to attack. Tomorrow, what we'll do is we'll have every soldier go and pick out one stone from this wall, you know, and then there won't be anything left of the city. Why do we have to attack? There's nothing here. So there's no point. L'mochar, artili kochad v'chad minaychu gumo harag minay. Bring me a little piece of this wall, and that's all we need to do. Go to sleep. Fine. So they go to sleep. Anyway, continues the story. Miyad, vayhi balailahu, vayetze malach Hashem, vayach b'machane Ashur 185,000. So the malach goes by, wipes out 185,000 men in one shot, and Vayashkimo Baboker, anyone who survived, we'll see who they were. Vine kulam pegarim etim. They look around. The entire army is dead. So that was the end of Sancheirim, because he waited until after the story about Nov was finished. And he was warned, this is your last chance. Omer of Papa, you know what they say. Haine damri inche. Batina, batadina. If you put things off, you know, then that's the end. So basically, you have a case, and you don't pursue the case when you can, you're never going to get there. Anyway, once we're talking about the story of Nov, and we're saying that there was a Gezerah on Yisroel because of Nov, we want the background over here. And the background turns out to go all the way back, not only to Nov Yirakonim, but actually is background that affects the entire story of Malchus Beis David and the coming of Mashiach and everything that, if you think about this, the way in which this perek has been built. So we started talking about a sort of popular kind of presentation of concepts that are left undefined. And it's almost like this popular children's show, this perek chelek, in which it's full of these cute little stories, all of which make no sense, all of which are just remuzim be'alma that need to all pile up, the same way that we saw in the Inyan of Trias HaMesim. And meanwhile, through it, we get the overall picture of the Inyanim that go way back in history, back to the time of Rus, as we saw. We started talking about the Shisha Midas of each one of the children of Rus. Now we're going to be talking about not only Rus, we're going to be talking about Orpa and the background of the children of Orpa and their attempt to destroy Malchus Beis David. And we're going to move through the stories that go all the way back to the very beginnings of history, in which the Inyanim of Sancheiriv and of Nov and of Mashiach, and we saw that Chizkiyo was meant to be Mashiach, and he wasn't Mashiach, and Gog Magog was supposed to be Sancheiriv, and all of these things mean that there is a great deal of fundamental issues that can be applied in various ways. And it's important for us to understand what the fundamental issues are, because then, as we pointed out before, as the Rambam says, you don't really understand and cannot understand any of the Nevi'ahs that is said about this period, because it's only meant to be understood in toto. So until you have all of the information, including the actual events of history, you're not going to see the entire pattern. Perek Chelek is not going to be against that Rambam, that's for sure. And so all of the Inyanim that we see over here are popularized attempts to get a feeling for the issues. So we know that one of the children of Orpa was called Yishbi Benov. So remember that the first big attack against the attempt to kill David HaMelech actually was carried out by the first son, and that was Goliot. Goliot HaPlishti was a son of Orpa. Yishbi Benov was another one of her sons, and he was called Yishbi Benov because he was, it says in the Pasuk, Bilidei Harafa. And Harafa, remember, there were like two different ways of referring to Orpa. She was called Orpa because everybody would screw her from behind. That was a very insulting name to her. Her real name was the Harafa, which was Chazal also darshan, the way of Arifot, also the same type of low-class prostitution. And he was one of those children. So Mishkal Kino, this guy was another one of these giants, you know, just like his brother. And so Mishkal Kino, he had a spear that weighed shlosh meot Mishkal Nechoshet, and he had on this suit of armor that was, whoa, Chagur Chadasha, brand new, very powerful, and he decided, I'm going to get rid of this David idiot. Now, what happened was that, nonetheless, the Pasuk doesn't explain what happens. It just says it's like this funny story, and he said he's going to kill David, but Avishai ben Tzeruya came to the rescue. Vayazalo Avishai ben Tzeruya, vayachas haplishti, vayamiteu. And at that point, they told David, Nishbu anshe David lo lemor, lo titze od itona la milchama, velo tichave et ner Yisrael. We're not allowing you to personally participate anymore in these wars. You're too much of a target, and if anything happens to you, it's going to be a terrible blow for morale. So you can't go out anymore. Anyway, so this is the background to that story. So it's called Yishbi Venov. Obviously, that relates him back to the Maisa of Nov. And therefore, we darshan like this. Maiva Yishbi Benov. Omer Avyeda Merav. This was the guy who came, is the Ish Sheba, Yishba, so to speak, because of Nov, Al Iske Nov. And the Maisa was like this. Omer Le'akadosh Baruch Hu David. Look, David, it's time that we deal with this issue. It's a very unpleasant issue, I understand. But actually, I must tell you, it's your fault. The whole thing is your fault. You should never have gone to Nov. You knew that Sheol is a nut, and you knew what could come out of it, and you knew that Doeg Adomi was there. And in asking for that food, you knew you were endangering Achimelech, and you were going to get everybody killed, and that's exactly what happened. So the whole thing is your fault, and because of that, you're going to have to be punished. So now the question is, how exactly do you want this to be handled? Now, I'm giving you a choice, you know. It was Al Yadcha, Nitra Ayatcha Nergarovirakonim, and Ayatcha Nitra Doega Adomi, and Ayatcha Nergushau Shloshizbonov. So I'm offering you the choice of either Yichlu Zaracha, we can have all of your children wiped out, or you can be handed over into the hands of your enemies, and that way we'll handle it through you. Now, which one do you like? So he said, Rebbeinu Shalom, I think it's better that I should be handed over to my enemies and that we don't lose all of the children of the Beis David. Okay, now that, of course, was a choice, but wasn't immediately. So one day, David HaMelech goes out on a hunt. Okay, maybe it's the name of a place, but there's different approaches to what this strange meaning of Lishkor Bazai, which may be the name of a place, or it might be a word in Paras, which means for hunting. So, Ata Satan Midamele Katavya. The Satan comes along and pretends to be a deer. Now, David shoots an arrow at this deer, and he's usually a darn good shot, and somehow or other, the arrow never hits him. So, Mashrei, he chases the deer, and the deer draws him further and further, and David, of course, every time he misses by a 1 millimeter, he's drawn even further, of course. So the Satan keeps pulling him, and he doesn't realize that he's already reached Eretz Plishtim. So now he's in the area of Yishbi Benov. That's where Yishbi Benov lives. So he sees him. Yishbi Benov says, but that's that bum, the Katrei LeGalyatachi, my dear brother Galyatapristi. This is the guy that killed him. I'm going to get him. So, what does he do? Kafte, he grabs David, and of course, he's a little bit bigger than David, to say the least, wraps him up in a ball, ties him up, folds him over, and he decides he's going to put him underneath the Tuti Bipadia. He's going to put him underneath the press for olives, and he's going to make some David oil. So he puts him under the thing, and he puts down the press, and he sits on top of it to boot, you know, just to make sure that David is well pressed. And what happened was, David Nisa, and Makale Aramitute, you know, the same Rashi miracle, you know, all of a sudden the wall opens up, Rashi goes into the back, and the 18-wheeler drives by. I'm sure you heard all of that story, right? So this is what happened to David, but it's under the David press, once upon a time an olive press. Anyway, so he's there, and it says this. David Melech actually celebrates this in Tehillim, because it says, actually, you know, he celebrates it twice, but okay. Tarchiv tzadi tachtai velo ma'adu karsulai. So you broadened my place underneath me, which means that there was a hole made that I could fit into. Anyway, but meanwhile, Yishbi Benov's got David. Now he's planning on, okay, what next can we do to have some fun with this little David ball? So we're going to see what he does next, you know. But meanwhile, it was Erev Shabbos, and there was Avishai ben Tzeruya, who was taking a shower at that very minute. Imagine. And he's got these 4 barrels of this warm water, and he's taken a big shower. And in each one of these barrels, these bloodstains appear. That gave him a message. There's some serious trouble afoot. And some say what happened was that a Yonah came and started each Rivka May. It started like hitting him with his wings and making a lot of noise and a fuss and so on. So he said to himself, oh my gosh, Knesset Yisrael is always compared to Yonah, as it says, Kanfe Yonah, Nechba Bekesev, the Klal Yisrael is like a dove. You remember the Midrashim, that the dove is able to fly on a wing and a prayer, right? So this is Klal Yisrael that always manages to get by on a wing and a prayer, even if it's only one wing. And if that's the case, the only thing that could explain this, I mean, nothing seems to be happening out there, it must be that David Malkut Yisrael is in trouble. But Sarash, Shari. So he runs to David's house. David's not there. Uh-oh. Where is David? The problem was he didn't have any car available. As there he is at David's house. So now the only car that's available is David's very own mule. So now the question is, you're not allowed to use anything that belongs to a king, right? So remember, The Mishnah itself that we had before says, Ein Rochlin Asuso, Ein Yoshvi Makiso, Ein Mishtamshim B'Sharvito. He was wondering whether he had a right to steal David's mule and run with it in order to save David. So he goes to the Beis HaMedrash and he asks, would I be allowed to use it? They say, yeah, B'Shata Sakona, Shaper Dami. Okay, so he gets on the mule, and at that moment that he starts riding to save David HaMelech, Kovtzele Ara, what happened was that there was this instant of Kvitzas HaOretz, and he finds himself right there on the way to Yishbi Benov. But Ba'adi Dekamaski, as he's riding by at these superluminal speeds, Chazye L'Orpa Yime, he passes back Orpa, and Orpa is still around, and she is actually sitting there spinning some threads. Wonder what kind of thread she was spinning. So she decided that she's going to knock off this guy, and she pretends that she drops the spindle. Well, actually, she threw it at Avishai's head and was supposed to crack his skull, but she missed. So Savra Lamiktale. So she says, oh my gosh, hey, yeah, little boy, Alam, of course, when you're a few hundred years old, I suppose you can call Avishai a little boy, you know. Kid, do me a favor. Could you pick up my pelech? I dropped it. He picks it up all right, throws it right at her head, and smashes her skull. That was the end of Orba. Meanwhile, he comes now right into the sight of Yishbi Benov. So Katchazia Yishbi Benov. So he says, Yishbi Benov says to himself, ooh, I'm going to have to handle two of these guys. I better get rid of this David ball while I can. So he takes his spear and he puts it into the ground. He takes the David ball, throws him up into the air right above that spear. Watch this, says he, as the David ball comes down with the spear about to cut through him. Yishpianov sees, Avishai sees that he's about to be pierced by the spear. Omar Avishai Shem. So he says, Hashem of Hashem, Ukme le David, Ben Shemai la Ara. So now the David ball is sitting there, levitated right above the spear. I understand. Couldn't David say Hashem and save himself? I mean, why did he need Avishai? V'neim Ihu. Well, you know what it says. Ein chavush motziatzmo bipeita hasurin. A guy who is the one who is the problem, he can't get himself out of that problem. Needs somebody with the perspective from the outside. Omer lei, all right. So anyway, Avishai says to him, what the heck are you doing here? Could you let me down before we have this conversation? No, he didn't say that. So he asked him, what the heck are you doing here? So he said to him, well, this is what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he told me that I have this choice. And I told him, okay, so if that's the case, I think it's better for the children to survive. And my enemy should be shalit on him. Oy vey, says Avishai, I can't believe you buy into this modern junk. Apech tzeluzech, you should immediately go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tell him, the hell with the kids. I want to be okay. So, you know what they say. Bar barach kira lisbon va'at lo titztayer. What are you worrying about your kids for? Whatever you need, you do. You let your kids worry for themselves. So the popular saying has it, you know, let your grandchildren be garbage collectors. You shouldn't worry about them. Again, these children are highly overrated, remember. Omar Le, so David says to him, it's going to be very hard to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept my new plea. I mean, after we already made this up, you know. But if you daven with me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so together, maybe we can get him to accept this. So, Yehochi, siyai ba'adam, help me. So, hanedichtiv, vayazilu Avishai ben Tzeruya. That's what it meant when it says that Avishai ben Tzeruya helped David. He helped him by being mispallel with him, and then he brought him down, and so on and so forth. Omer of Yudah Merav, it means Ezra Bitfila. Anyway, so Avishai says, okay, so I guess you had enough up there? So he says another shame, lets him down. Omer Avishai, shame, v'achte, And then they start running because Yishbi Benov is still in there, and he has decided he's going to get these guys. Anyway, they are running and running. They come to this place called Kubi, which was right between Eretz Plishtim and Eretz Yisrael. So they say to each other, you know, the name Kubi sounds like it means Kumbe. Make a stand. Let's make a stand. Get me out of here, you're crazy. And they just kept running. So it turned out only to be an idea, but they didn't take the idea. So maybe the town meant that, but they just kept running. Anyway, they came to the next town. The next town was called Beitrei. And they said, you know, Beitrei Guri and Katlul Aryeh, you'd think that two little kids of the Aryeh, lion cubs, are going to be able to kill the lion? We aren't going to get this Yishbi Benov. Let's keep running. So they keep running. And now they realize they got to work on this without a direct attack. So they figured it's time for some psychological warfare. So they yell back to Yishbi Benov, hey, before you go running to us, don't you think you ought to attend your mother's funeral? Hey, we killed your mother. Hello? Anyway, so here's that. Oh, my gosh. So he gets weakened for a moment. So ki atker leishma de'ime koch hashchele. He got weak for a moment, and that's when they were able to kill him. Anyway, so getting back to the end of the story, remember that they told him, the soldiers told him, Hainu dechtiv, az nishbu anshei David lo limor, no more going out with us. Lo teitze od itanu lamilchama, velo techabe et ner Yisrael. We don't want the light of Klal Yisrael. David HaMelech was a Melech, and he was also the one who was the Mekabel of Torah in that door. Tanu Rabbanan. Once we talked about the story of Avishai, and then before that, we talked about Sancheiriv, it turns out that there were really three places that we find that people were zeicher to kvitzas ha'aretz, true kvitzas ha'aretz. Kvitzas ha'aretz, interestingly, Rashi says kvitzas ha'aretz, it comes from the same word. It's not the way that people usually understand it. From if you're kofatz, your hand. So it means you pull your hand together. So kvitzas ha'aretz actually means that it's like hyperspace. So what you do is it's like the earth contracts so that the area in between, you don't have to traverse, and then you just go from one place to another place, and you don't have to go through the place in between. That's kvitzas ha'aretz. It's a very cute explanation. Anyway, so there were three cases. Who, what, who? Just, I'm telling you, it's irrepressible. Gotcha. Okay. So who were the three people? So we had Eliezer Eved Avram, Yaakov Avinu, and Avishai Ben Tzeruya. These were the three cases. Avishai Ben Tzeruya, we just told you over the story. Eliezer Eved Avram, because it says in the Pasuk, Vavo Hayom El Ayin, which means I left today and I came today. So what does Hayom mean? Obviously, Hayom, Yaakov Avinu, we know. That's the whole story that we actually have learned so many times in other sugyas, in Rashi. Tichti vayetze Yaakov ibn Sheva vayelech harona, uchti vayivga b'makom vayolad sham kibo ha-shemesh. It doesn't make any sense. If Yaakov Avinu already got, it says vayelech harona, as much as we already got there, and then it says he had to stop in Beit El, which was nowhere near there. How did that happen? Well, what happened was he actually went to Choron, and Kimato L'Choron, he said, oh my gosh, Efshar Avarti HaMakom Shitvelubo Avotai, I went through Beit El, where it was that Avram Avinu had built him his Beach, and so on. And okay, who about Chokas, whether this really was Yerushalayim that became Beit El and moved it, whatever. But I didn't daven, so I have to go back right away. The moment he decides to go back, boy l'mahader, given the hearer b'dayite l'mahader, kov tzulayar. So as soon as he wanted to do that, he found himself there, and miyad vayivgaba makom, so he's back in Beit El. And not only that, this next piece does not seem to belong here at all. And in fact, some take it out because it's not Nogea, but all right, it appears, so we'll read it. Davar acher ein pigia l'tfila. This is a reference to davening there. Shenemar v'atal titpalil ba'ad ha'agama zeh v'altisa b'adam rida l'tfila v'al tivga bi. So v'yivka b'makom is that he would daven there, but that's actually what we said in the beginning, that he said, I need to daven there. And because of that, he was zocher to the kvitzas ha'aretz. Anyway, says something very strange. V'yolan sham ki bo ha'shemesh. So he stays there because the sun set. What do you mean, because the sun set? I mean, you say the sun set for Yolosham. So what happened was, is that Boser Tzoli, after he had Davin, he decides, okay, there's still plenty of time. I'll go back now on my way to Haran, like I was originally. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible. Tzadik zeh bala beit belodi yipater belolina. Kodesh Baruch Hu says he came to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the ultimate Malon. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's place. By the way, this was the reason that some of the Mefarshim argue on Rashi and say before, in the two Lashons, one of Merom and one of Malon. So Rashi learned that the Malon is his Bokum Lamala. But others learn based on this, that Beit Maloni is Malono Lamata, Dafka. Okay, just pointing it out. So he's going to now go leave the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Chadar HaMitot, as it's called, and he's going to end up not sleeping here. Miyad Ba Shemesh, the sun set. That's why it says later, when it would happen, after he fought the Malach of Esav, so it says, Vayizrach Lo HaShemesh. It was his son. Well, what do you mean his son? V'chilo bilvad zarcha, halo l'kol olam kolo zarcha. How does the sun rise for one person? Ah, says Rabbi Yitzchak, because that was the point. The Shemesh that had set early here when he got to Beit El in order to go to sleep, that same Shemesh was the Zorcha Lo HaShemesh. It was his additional hours of sun that were presented to him. So how do we know? I mean, you're saying that in the end, David HaMelech made the other choice, that his children should be wiped out, and that, in fact, was what Avishai had helped him to achieve. Do we see that? That his children were wiped out? Uminolan, dechola zare de David, dechtiv. Well, that was the Maisa of Atalia. So, Vatalia, ema chazyau, ra'ata, kimeit bina. So, over here, after Achazia was killed, the only one that was left, turns out that there was Yoash, but Atalia wanted to take over the whole country. She thought that she got everybody, and she slaughtered the whole family. So we see from here that, in fact, all of the children of David were killed. No, what do you mean? That's not true. That was the whole story in which Yoash escaped, was hidden in the Beis HaMikdash. You know the whole story, and I don't understand why you say that his family was destroyed. Ah, because the point is that there was also one child that survived, Nov. Asamnami ishtair Eviatar, because it says, Vayimalet ben echad la'achimelech ben achitov. And who was that? Shmo Eviatar. So basically, the gezeira of Nov, that because of the destruction of the Mishpachat HaKohanim of Achimelech ben Achitov, the truth is that he also managed to survive with one child. That was Eviezer HaKohen. So because of that, one child survived for David as well, which was Yoash. Om Revit Omerav, indeed, Il Malay Nishtair Eviatar L'Achimelech ben Achitov, Lo Nishtair Mizar Shel David Tzar Yupolit. If there wouldn't have been that one child that survived from Achimelech's family, then no one would have survived what Atalia did. Omer Yehuda Merav. Getting back to Sancheirav. So Baalehem Sancheirav HaRasha, Barbaim V'Chamisha Elef Ish B'nei Melachim, Yoshvim B'Kronot Shel Zahav. So this was like one heck of an army. First, he got together from all of the various countries that he had made treaties with and had captured and so on. So he had 45,000 royal family members with him from countries all over the world, and they were in these golden tanks. Vimaem, Shiglonot, Visonot, and they had, of course, all of their sex tools with them. Can't go to war without all the fun. Actually, remember, there's a machlokas, whether a shegal is a dog used for kinky sex, or whether shiglonot is a lashon of milachot. So, to keep things a little bit cleaner, we can learn that the shegal over here means the simple meaning of shegal, that they were together with their wives. But it sure doesn't sound like it says they brought the zonot with them, so I don't know. And we do find, by the way, in other Gemaras that, like, the chariots were actually equipped with all types of sex toys. So, b'shmonim elef giborim, levushe shiryon klipa, and they had these coats of mail. There were 80,000 knights. Wow. And there were also shishim elef achuzei cherev. There were 60,000 of expert swordsmen that were rotzim lefanav. All the rest were... The rest of the army was just regular prashim. So that's 185,000. And that size of army was actually the First World War, which attacked Avram Avinu. It was the same size. V'chein bo al Avram. And that's the size of the war of Gog and Magog. Now, remember, this was supposed to be anyway Gog and Magog, so that makes sense. And the Braita says, look, this guy... The length of the actual, the whole caravan of the army together was 400 parsaot long. It's about, what's it called? Can't hear you. Yeah, the convoys. Yeah, thank you. So this was 400 miles long. I mean, it's actually more than 400 miles, but it's double that. And Roch of Tzavar Susav, if you put his horses side by side, like in the Lord of the Rings, I mean, you would have had over there an army of horses that were so wide, it would be 40 miles wide. Death. Sach machaneo, matayim v'shishe v'ruto alafim choser chad. So, look, this was 2,600,000,000 people in his army, but minus one. Well, minus one what? Minus 1 billion? Minus 1,000? Minus 100? Minus one unit? I don't know. Take it. It's absolutely marvelous. Okay. So, Tana. So anyway, this was this incredible army. So as it crossed the Yarden, so the first group of horses that went by, they had to swim across the Yarden. But then so much water from the Yarden was absorbed in the horses that the next group, they were just able to walk over. The third group, there was no water at all left in the Yarden. And in fact, they had to import a bunch of Mayaden from the Golan just to have water for the soldiers to drink. So, and it says that the next one, they actually Motsumayim ben Arli Shtots. This room is in the Pasuk. So it says over there, for the first ones, V'cholav b'Yehuda shataf v'yavar. Shataf means like the water is spurting all over. The middle ones, it says, at savar yagia. So the water only got up to their necks. And the last ones, they couldn't even have water for drinking. At she'viu mayim mimakom acher v'shatu. They had to go and bring all these water bottles. Shenemar ani karti v'shatiti mayim. All right, so they had to dig. Karti, they had to dig up water from underground or find it somewhere. Anyway, so there's a little bit of a problem, isn't there? I mean, it says that the Malach Hashem, he knocked out 185,000, and you've got billions. Like, what good is knocking out 185,000 from an army that's got billions? I mean, it says that they woke up in the morning and all of them were dead. Then that means that all of them is only 185,000. I think there's a bunch of exaggerations here. Amar Rabbi Abba, what exaggerations? The 185,000 were the head commanders. That was the Joint Chief of Staff. You know, you're talking about an army of billions. I mean, it's a big Joint Chief of Staff, you know? So Halalu were only the Roshei Gayasot. Amar Rav Ashi, yeah, it's for sure. If you take a look at the Pasuk, clearly it says that. Because remember we darshan the Pasuk that Hashem is going to be Shaleach b'mishmanav razon? So that was b'mashmenim de'itbo. He was only talking about over there the fat ones, meaning the guys that were on the top, and they were the ones that needed dealing with. Well, Meravina, yes, there's also another Pasuk. It says, v'yishlach Hashem malach v'yikhan kol gibor chayil v'nagid v'sar b'machaneh. It says they only went to destroy all of the, you know, knights and the officers and so on. Doesn't say everybody. And then it says, Vayavo Beit Elohav, Umitziei Me'av, Shalmi Pilu Bechorev. He gets to his church, the temple of his idol, and his kids kill him. Anyway, Shumamina, so apparently, it was way more than 185,000. That was indeed just the chief of staffs. Now, the question is, what weapon was used by the Malach to destroy the army of Sancheriv? But may he come. So Rebbe Eliezer says, he used the hand of the Malach. How do we know? Shenemar, Vayar Yisrael et Hayad HaGedola. What do you mean, Hayad? What does that mean, Hayad? The Yad? As opposed to just Yad Gedola. Which must say, Hayad, this is the Yad Shatidali Parami Sancheriv. The point over here is that the Nisim that take place in the beginning of the whole vision of Yisrael, of the mythos of their coming into being, all of those things are meaningful throughout the Derech. So it was the same Yad that was going to destroy Sancheriv, or like we said before, would apply to Gog and Magog, just like it was the same army that originally attacked Avram Avinu. There's a theme here that you can see, which is that we're trying to define the underlying story. So in this case, it must refer to that same Yad that was attacking Paro. And it's called Hayad because it's going to be attacking Sancheriv. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, it was with his finger, because it says in Mitzrayim, Vayomar Chartumim Oparo, Etzba Elohim, he. What do you mean, he? Again, that's like saying a specific Etzba. Yes, he Etzba Shatidali Parami Sancheriv. So it was just a finger as the Malach comes by. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher b'Yosi Aglili Omer, that Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGavriel. And this also appears in The Lord of the Rings, it became the question to Gimli. Gimli, is your axe sharpened? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks, now Gavriel, tell me, Magal Chanetusha, your axe is sharpened. I got some work for you. Amar Lefanav, Ribbono Shel Olam, I've been sitting here waiting with this sharpened axe from Sheshes Yimei Bereishis for this moment. We finally get a little action around here. Shenemar, Mipnei Charavot Nadadu. So this were these sharp swords. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, the truth is that this was all sort of like just an aside, you know, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Gavriel, you know, look, I know you're very busy, and because Oto HaPerek Zman Bishul Perot Haya, this was the time when the trees in Eretz Yisrael were supposed to finish ripening the fruits, and Gavriel is the one who's in charge of that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Gavriel, listen, do me a favor. When you go out there to go past all the trees in Eretz Yisrael and make sure that all of them are ripe, can you just, like, on the way, wipe out a couple of these problem soldiers, a couple of billion there? He's a cake lehem. Shenemra, midei avro, as he's passing by, yikach etchem. Ki vaboker, vaboker, yavor, vayom uvalayla. Let me tell you something. When you guys figure out what this means, oh God, you are going to be sitting there trembling in your boots. Omer of Papa, yeah, that's basically, you know what people say. Agav urchach, lebal devavach, ishtama. When you're passing by, What the people who are scared to death of you? Let them notice that you're passing by. It's always good to keep people on their toes. The Yesh Omrim, some say, nah, what Gavriel has to sit there with an etzpa, with a yad, what a waste. He blew at them. The Yesh Omrim bechotmam nashaf b'hem, and they died on the spot. Shemagam nashaf b'hem, it actually says, nashaf b'hem, it just blew on them, and they withered. V'yivashu. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Omar, ach, did you ever try to kill a fly by clapping your hands right next to the fly and the shock kills the fly? It's amazing, right? You don't have to get your hands dirty. So that's what he did. Why dirty your hands? So Gavriel just clapped as he was passing by and they all dropped dead. So that's what he did. Kapayim safak lem vametu shenemar v'gam ani ake chapi el chapi v'ani choti chamati. I will clear out my anger by putting on a little bit of a clap. Rabbi Yitzhak Nafcha Omar, what he did was, is he let them listen for a moment. You think human beings ever listen? They don't hear anything. So what he did is, he opened up their ears for a second. Now, when he opened up their ears, they heard the shira that was going on from the Chayos HaKodesh. The moment they heard that shira, they all dropped dead. That's all he did. V'shamu shira mipi achayot v'metu. Shenemar miromemu techa nafzu goyim. It was because of the roimemus Hashem, shlomemus Hashem is befiem, that is the reason that the goyim all dropped dead, they scattered. Anyway, so we see somebody woke up in the morning, because it says they woke up in the morning and everybody was dead. And generally, when you wake up, you don't wake up dead. So, yeah, as somebody writes very beautifully, I suppose the only time you'd really be shocked is if you woke up dead. That would be a shock. But anyway, so apparently there were people that had actually made it through the night, despite Gavriel's attack. How many people survived Gavriel's attack? How many shtayr mehem? So Rav says it was 10. Shenemar usha'ar eitz yaro mispar yiyu. What you think is going to be left of this guy, Sancheriv and Ashur, there will be what you can write down, a child can write down. How much can a child write down who doesn't really know how to write? He can make a dot with his ink, which is a yud. So that would be 10. So 10 survived. Shmuel Amar, not 10, 9. Shinema v'nish arbo elelot. There'll be a couple of loose grapes there. Kinokev zayit. You know, like shnayim shloshah gargarim b'rosh amir. Arba al chamisha b'sifah. You could maybe even get 4 or 5 of these olives on a branch somewhere. So 4 or 5. Put it together and you get 9. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer. No, it's actually 14. Because it should be all of what's here. So we have Shnayim Shosha plus Arba Ava Chamisha. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can actually count because we know who was left. There were 5 people left. And that is Sancheriv, his 2 sons, as I will soon prove to you. And Nebuchadnezzar was there and Nebuzradan was there. Now, how do we know Nebuzradan was there? I mean, he didn't even show up yet in Tanakh. Nebuzradan, we know that he was there because we have a Kabbalah, that's what the facts were. So that's a Gemara. We can't be medayik that from the Pasuk. Nebuchadnezzar, we know that Nebuchadnezzar must have been there. Because remember that when Nebuchadnezzar saw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which we saw a couple days ago, he says that he's shocked. And he says, Revei de Reviyah Damela Bar Lahim. The 4th one, that's where we brought the Raya. Remember that Tzadikah, Bergidolim, and Malachi Ashares. So Nebuchadnezzar said, the 4th one looks like an angel of the Lord. Now, how the heck does Nebuchadnezzar know how an angel looks, right? So he must have gotten a gander at that angel when he was with Sancheriv. That's why he was so sure. This is great. That's why he was so sure that the fourth one, that's like the one I saw. And indeed, that was Gavriel, remember? So it was the same Gavriel that he had seen before. He said, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. He's there. Sancheriv, how do I know Sancheriv is Shnei Banav? Because that's the pasuk. It says afterwards, he is there in the temple of the grand Nisroch. We'll see what that is in a moment. And his two sons, Adramelech and Sharetzer, they kill him with a sword as he's bowing down to his god. Omer Rabbi Abba, look, if you want to know the rest of the story, I got to tell you, this is a chutzpah to say this story. And if it wouldn't be a beferish pasuk, I would never have said things like this because I'd get killed for this. But you have to understand that part of what we're talking about over here is the structure of all of these stories. The structures are all the same. And this is, as I said, this is a construction of an entire mythos in which the way that the stories play out, they have to play out across history because they are certain yesodes that are brought out in each one of the stories. Now, one of the fundamental ideas of Mitzrayim is that Mitzrayim was meant to be funny. Now, of course, people miss this because they like taking themselves so seriously, but the whole idea of Mitzrayim was an insane joke from the beginning. And very similar to the things we're talking about in Purim. It's always a joke. And that's what the pasuk says. Asher hitalalti b'Mitzrayim. I mean, come on. Frogs and scratching. And I mean, this is ridiculous. This is the way you defeat the grand paro. That's the whole point. Yes. Froggies. Okay, so if that's the case, the same thing was true about Sancheriv, who was supposed to be Gog and Magog. The whole thing was, in the end, meant to reduce the incredible chutzpah of these idiots and to make them into absolute fools. And this is all part of the psukim that Mamash appear in Yeshayahu describing these issues. So it says over there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bayomahu Yigalach Adonoi Bitar Haschira Be'evrei Nahar. So on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rent a razor and shave these people that have come, B'melech Hashur, and he's going to shave his hair on his head, and Sa'ar Haraglayim, he's going to get his private hair, the Gamet HaZakantispeh, and he's going to get rid of his beard too. Now, what in the world? What does that mean? Well, remember, what does it say by Mitzrayim? Ani velo malach. I didn't take care of this paro cat all on my own. I don't want anybody else involved. And in fact, remember, Moshe and Aaron are told, thank you very much, now I'm taking over, right? And then we have that special pasuk in which the Moshe of Aaron, Asur, etc., etc., that was the end of Moshe Aaron, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking over. So it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen, 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 the final jokes are on me, okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he actually dresses up as an old man and appears to Sancheriv. So he looks like a really intelligent guy. So Sancheriv is running by trying to get back home. And this old man says to him, hey, what are you going to do when you get back home when all of these countries that you took all of their princes and royal family members and were supposedly going to give them this vast victory, and now they're all dead? I mean, what do you think people are going to do? Yeah, says Sancheriv, I got to say, I've been thinking about that very thing myself, actually. I don't know what to do. So, Mayam Rito, what are you going to say? Omar Lay, gosh, Ahu Gavra Bahu Pachtan Ami Yosef. I'm thinking about this the whole time, and I'm scared out of my wits. What do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? Well, says the old man, look, you know, there's not much you can do. I'd say the only thing you can do is put on a disguise. Disguise, says Sancheriv. What should I disguise myself as? I'll help you, says the old man. Go bring me some barber scissors. So, zilai silei maspara, and I'll give you a haircut. No one will recognize you. So he says, Santa Clara says, well, where the heck am I supposed to get scissors over here in the middle of the road? Oh, says the old man, see that house over there? Go in there. They got every tool you could possibly want, and ask them to borrow a pair of scissors. All right. So Olav obeyed of Isaac. He goes into this house, and in this house, I can't stop now, can I? I mean, I know we're going on too long, but it's too crazy to stop in the middle. Okay, so fine. So he finds these Malachi Ashores that appear to be these workmen that are sitting there grinding these kernels of dates. So he says, excuse me, but would you have a pair of scissors I could borrow? So they say to him, yes, but, I mean, we don't give out scissors for free. Why don't you sit here and grind a little bit? And as you grind, you know, if you grind enough, we'll give you a pair of scissors. So here's Sancheirov, the great king, who now becomes a date grinder. Now, you remember, this was the dream that was the horror, the nightmare that the Gemara described. This is not, these are all, as I say, these are very, very profound kind of fundamental visions. But until you see all of the Gemaras and all the places that shows up, it just sounds insane. Anyway, so fine. So they give him the scissors. Tachan chad griva de kashaita. So he grinds up these date nuts. What would you call the pits? There's another word for it, but I can't think of it now. The Yavilei Masparta. So they give him a pair of scissors. By the time he gets back to the old man, it's dark. So the old man says, well, I can't see anything. How am I supposed to give you a haircut? Go back there and get a kerosene lamp. He says, Zil Isi Nura. So he goes, he brings this Nura, and then as they're pumping up this kerosene lamp, it catches hold of his beard and burns his whole beard up. Azel, Gazil Reshe Vedikne. Oh my God, he looks like a mess. The old man says, oh man, you really look bad. I better take it all off. So he takes it all off. This guy looks like a plucked chicken, and now he's coming back looking like a mess. Also, Gazil Reshe Vedikne, everything comes off. So that's what they say, you know. It's a little puzzle. It says, "Vegamet hazakan tisper." Note, it doesn't say that the zakan will be cut. It says tisper. It's going to be gathered in and destroyed. Omrav Papa, you know that this is what people say. If you are trying to really have a ball with somebody, and you're trying to actually do something to get him angry, you know, you hate this guy. So you know what people say. If you took an arma, I mean, these guys are so stupid, you could have actually go ahead and you could have singed some of his hair off. Now, let me tell you something. These guys are so dumb, he might think, oh, that looks pretty good. Okay, so then the thing to do is to light his beard, and then you'll never stop laughing. That's what the saying is. But anyway, Garir to l'arma, shaper, if he still likes it, so light his beard, and then you'll never stop laughing. You have lots of fun from him. Anyway, so Sancheirov goes, he finds on his way a piece of wood that was left from Noah's ark. And he says to himself, oh my gosh, this is the great God that saved Noah from the Mabel. Oh, at last, there's a chance of my being saved. So he worships this God, and he says to it, of course, it's a piece of wood, and he says to it, listen, if you help me, and I get home, and I manage to actually survive all of this, I will bring you as a sacrifice my two sons that survived. So, unfortunately for him, his two sons were listening in on the other side of the door. They did not like that promise. And so, as he bows down to this God, they kill him. That's why it says, Vayihu mishtachava beit nisroch elohav. Nisroch is the word for neser. So he's bowing down to this this ridiculous god, of which is a plank of wood, and Adramelech and Sharetzer Banav Hiku Becherev. So apparently the two things were interrelated. The bowing down to this Nisroch was the reason that he ended up getting murdered. Okay, that is the grand story that is meant to provide us with some laughs of Sanheru. Okay, gentlemen, it's been fun. Wishing you a wonderful night. Wishing you, Bezrat Hashem, a night of peace, loss of enemies, and Marsayech u'machrivayech mimech yetzeyu, which would be wonderful. And then we can worry about our outside enemies, and Bezrat Hashem bizocha to exactly these kind of yeshuas with these kind of humorous background issues with the, you know, the Supreme Court, maybe, with the beards and whatever else needs to be done. See you then. Shavua tov u'mevorach, b'sorot tovot. Looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to being zeche to tomorrow. Mayotov and Shavua tov. Inayel Yeshuati, Eftach v'lo Efchat.